Cliff Barris has been a longtime song leader for the Billy Graham Ministries, and I think he may be retired now, but he was in the middle of a story that kind of changed his life and definitely changed the lives of two teenagers who had snuck into Madison Square Garden in New York City early because they wanted to be real close to up front when a Billy Graham crusade was happening. And so they came into the building, not too many people around. Cliff Barris comes up to them and says, "Hi, I'm Cliff, what's your name?" And one says, "I'm Gordon." The other one didn't know the name of that fella. But he says, "Well, you're here kind of early." And they said, "Yeah, we really wanted to be close to the front and get a good seat because we wanted to hear something that might help us in our faith in God." And so Cliff said, "Well, where would you like to sit, second row or third row?" And they said, "Well, that's good. Maybe we shouldn't be that close, you know." But Cliff said, "Where do you want to sit? I'll put you in the second row." So he got two pieces of paper. One, he put Reverend Gordon MacDonald. That was the one guy's name. And he put the paper on one seat, and he said, the other one was Reverend so-and-so, whatever that guy's name was, and he put it on the other seat. He said, "There's your seats, fellas." And without having deserved that kind of respect or earned it in any way, you know, these guys were young. They didn't have any calling yet in their lives to serve in clergy calling. Yet he gave them a title, Reverend MacDonald, Reverend so-and-so, and gave them a seat. And really, they were out of bounds a bit, you might say. But Cliff Barris thought, if I show these young ones respect, you know, and they have a chance to hear some good news where they're at, then God may change their lives. And it really did work for both of the fellas, and it impacted them for a long time. So the gifts of love and respect that God pours into our lives can be life changers for us. And last week we talked about love from Christ, which is a love that says, "I love you all the time, no matter what." You can think of it, you know, how often do I experience that in my relationships with others? And how often do I express that? And do I really feel that God has impacted my life like that? Loves me all the time, no matter what. And today we're going to concentrate more on respect as a gift given, unearned, and undeserved. If you've been around church life a bit, you probably are familiar with the phrase unconditional love that Christ would give to us, express that at the cross. That in the Bible also, it points us in our relationships to people to unconditional respect. Unconditional respect. And I think that is just as powerful and life-changing as unconditional love. And you see how it might affect some of the relationships you have in your life. So thinking about love and respect, and a lot of the applications that I do today are from the book called Love and Respect, Emerson Eggerich. He wrote it mostly for couples, but it applies to all relationships. It applies to how you're doing with parents, how you're doing with children, co-workers at work, neighbors, folks around you in church. Okay. Love and respect is something that God wants to flow back and forth between you and the other people in your life. So we're going to take a look at that and just let God's word impact us. I think it's as countercultural as anything that all the things that God gives us in his word. Okay, it really makes us change our mind about how we treat ourselves and how we treat others. So here's a few things from the Bible in regards to respect. We shouldn't be surprised, but I was fairly recently, that God commands respect toward all people. Okay? Respect everyone. That's what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Love, brothers and sisters, show respect to all people. And we know we're to do that because that person is very important to the Lord. Jesus said one soul was more important than the whole world. Because what good is it if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? That one person. so important to God to treat them with respect, unconditional respect, regardless of what they do or what they fail to do. That's huge. To show proper respect to everyone. 1 Peter 3:7 gives the same command. This is in the context of husband and wife relationships. Treat them with respect. He happens to be talking to guys in regards to gals at that point. That's a good standard for the young people. Who am I going to date? I'm going to date somebody who respects me. Okay, if I'm young. If I'm connected with somebody, I want respect happening between the husband toward the wife. Okay? Treat them with respect. The rest of the verse happens to say, treat them as respect as the weaker sex. And we all know women, by and large, live longer than men as a general rule. So biologically, they have some things we don't have. But Paul is just referring to physical strength at that point. The guy can lift a bigger rock than the gal normally. So treat the one who can't lift as much with respect. Okay, treat them with respect. And earlier, Paul deals with wives. The wife must respect her husbands. Her husband. Sorry. And wife must respect her husband. That's something that guys really live on. Okay, guys thrive on respect, and gals need it too. But guys are wired where that's really valued by men in their relationships. A bunch of guys were asked, pick A or B. They said, "Here's A. You're isolated on a desert island with nobody loving you. Okay, that's A. B is you continue in the life you have, but people around you show you great disrespect. What would you rather have, the desert island or where you're at with no respect?" Almost all the guys picked the desert island. We don't care if anybody loves us, but we sure do care if someone respects us. That's just the way God built us. And that's like water to us, water and food. You can live about a month without food, but you can't live real long without water. For a guy, respect is the water. And for a gal, they often say, I want to know I'm loved and somebody's going to be connected to me no matter what. They really appreciate that aspect of things. So what is respect that we're to be passing on to one another? Respect defined is to honor and esteem, to treat with deference and courtesy. And I think of different things in creation. I'm going to change the illustration from the morning service. Different things in creation we respect. You know, you go to the Grand Canyon, you don't take your garbage from the car and throw it over the cliff, you know. What are you doing that for? That's an important part of God's creation. If you go to a certain part where trees are growing, you say, "Hey, I got to respect these trees." Apparently a rivalry with Alabama fans and Auburn fans got out of hand. An Auburn fan went to the University of, or Alabama fan went to the University of Auburn's campus and poured poison on their trees. And that was a dumb thing to do, messing up the trees and tradition and everything else. That's show respect for God's creation. But in God's mind, the most honorable part of creation is people. People. Don't deface people with your words, with your actions. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to other parts of God's creation. When we do that, he's like saying, "I'd rather have you throw garbage in the Grand Canyon than you treat somebody else in a disrespectful manner." That's the Lord's values that he wants to get into our heart. So here we are, to honor and esteem, to treat with deference and courtesy. Our game dinner speaker, Leo, said when he was a young guy in college, he thought he would get his respect from how strong he was, how many unhealthy relationships he could have with gals, and three, professional success. So he said he went after those full tilt. But when he went after them full tilt, he said, man, I had the strength. I had the success. I had all the messing around I wanted. It didn't give me a sense of self-respect. Okay, so that's something for the guys to know in their head. See, it's not how strong you are, how successful you are in your work. It's whether you get your dignity from God. Then you'll be a strong man. Then you'll be, I don't know if you want to be a tough guy. You'll be a tough guy spiritually from God Himself. Why respect everyone? The person is created in God's image. That's our big calling in life, to spread the gospel to others, to know they're very important to God. So they're going to be important to us if we have a chance to connect with them. The person is created in God's image. True story about a dear little baby boy who was born with many disabilities. The baby was born quadriplegic, not able to move arms and legs, born also blind, born with cerebral palsy, and wasn't going to make it very long in life. And so the response of family and medical community to this dear little one was amazing. What could we do to care for this child, whether the child lives 10 hours or 10 years? What could we do to care for this little child? And it was hooked up to a breathing machine, the baby was, and heat lamp, and tubes and everything. And the father said this, even though the little one was like that, I'm looking at this little one and all these machines around him, but when I looked at that little one, he looked exactly like me. He looked exactly like me. And it wasn't just biology, He was seeing the image of God in that little one. And how everybody said, let's care for that one. And God calls us to do that to the people around us that we sense have needs. Physical needs, spiritual need, whatever it is. Let's get together and see how much strength we could pass on, because they're in trouble. Created in God's image. Person is fearfully and wonderfully made. That's true about everybody we meet. Again, more dignity than the Grand Canyon or your favorite vacation spot. Jesus has died for them. The greatest hero in the universe has said, I'm going to give my life in exchange for that person. The person at work that I don't like. My neighbor who I don't know their last name yet. I've lived there 5 years. I still don't know their last name. Okay, Jesus has died for them. That kind of perspective of the people around you. I was reading one of the church history things, and it was made the comment, people are the most valuable, outside of the Lord, most valuable part of the church. Isn't that true? What do you associate the church with? God says, I associate the church with my son and not the people, body of Christ right there. And then love, to pass on love in an unconditional way and to give respect in an unconditional way. If you want relationships to grow strong, this is where it's at. People want to know in the relationship, are you going to say, I'm in it regardless of what you do or don't do? You could ask yourself, how many people in your life have you expressed that to? Listen, I'm with you regardless of what you do or don't do. If you're able to do that, I'll tell you what, that just gives great strength to that relationship. Our calling in life is not to say, you know what, I'm in it, I'm in this relationship as long as I'm getting something out of it. As long as it makes me happy, I'm cool with it. If it doesn't make me happy, don't count on me. I'm in it regardless of what you do or don't do. I'm in it no matter what. I'm in it for the long haul. Unconditional love and respect being unconditional. How can we live this out? Just a couple examples. Remembering Jesus is the source of this new way to live for our hearts and minds. This is what He taught. This is what He exemplified in dying for the sins of the whole world. Jesus wasn't a spiritual Darwinist. He didn't say, I'm going to pick 10% most holy people in the world, and I'm going to be just for them. That's a spiritual Darwinist. You know, we're just here for the strongest people. If you're not too strong, just you can come whenever you feel like it. Jesus is for everybody. Okay, he gets in there. He's the source of love, no matter what, unselfish, unconditional, sacrificial, committed, faithfulness. He's the strong, true, and faithful one. And in your life, if you trip, which we all do, in the area of showing God's love to people, say, read the Gospels and say, Lord, help me walk this way toward others. See how He responded to people in need, you know, in combat with His enemies, how He kind of kept their dignity about them and gave them a way to get to know Him in spite of the difficulties. Unselfish, unconditional, sacrificial, committed, faithful. You have somebody who loves you like that. That's Christ. And so that should make you thrive in trying to relate to others in a healthy manner. Respect and love live that. Ultimately, you show respect for Christ when you unconditionally respect the other person, because that person is made in God's image. Paul says in Ephesians, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So the more I respect you, or the little one, or the 16-year-older, or of course the person who's 80 and has, you know, they're not as physically fast as before, but they're full of wisdom. When I show respect to them, I show respect to God. When you show respect to people in authority, you show respect to God. That's the way the Lord set up creation. Realize all sin is rooted in the lack of love and respect. That's just saying, because Jesus said, here's the greatest commandments. Love God, love people. And all of them, all the law really is connected to those. So realize when you start going away from God and sinning, you forgetting He loves you, and you're showing a lack of respect to Him and other people around us also. Realize, too, in your relationships with people, all personal attacks are requests for love and respect. You know, somebody in your immediate circle of friendships or at home or in church, they start getting on you verbally, you know, attacking or some manner. Realize, you know, it's not just they don't like your hair or that. You know, they think you forgot to take a bath. Realize there's something, they're not feeling much love and respect in what's going on between you and them. And so you can understand that. And you can say, well, I want you to know I'm in it regardless of what you do or don't do. And I have respect for who you are and what's in your craw at the moment. Respecting... realizing that. Never tell a person they must earn your respect. Now, that goes counter to everything we've been taught. Right? We all know the phrase. Respect must be what? I mean, we're taught that ever since we're little. You know. What does the 13-year-older, I went to a class that had this on the wall. What does the 13-year-older do when they walk into their junior high classroom and on the wall it says, poster says, respect must be earned. I know what I would do as a 13-year-older. I would say, Mrs. McGillicuddy, you haven't done squat for me yet. Why in the world should I respect you? You got to earn it. I might respect you in May when it's almost over here. Obviously, I should respect because of who they are, who the Lord made them in position, not what they do, not that they have to earn it. In there. Never tell any person they must earn your love. That's deadly if you do that. Respecting one another opens the door for the gospel. A great story, true story about Jerry Falwell, you know, preacher of yesterday, and Larry Flint, probably pornographer of yesterday. I don't know where he's at now. But they, in God's providence, they were on a plane together, rather small plane, and sitting near each other. So they start talking. They know who they are. And they start talking about life. They talk about food. They talk about sports. They talk about family life. They even talk a little bit about church this, church that. And they start hitting it off and they start having a good old time. I mean, they're laughing like they've known each other for 10 years. And Jerry Falwell's son sees all this, and after they get off the plane, he says, "Dad, what in the world got into you? What are you, you know, pooping and hollering with this big bad guy for?" And Jerry Falwell said, "You know, someday he's going to realize there's a lot of pain in his life and a lot of sin that needs forgiven and a lot of hurt, and he's going to probably call somebody and say, 'Help. And by the way, I treat him, I'd like to be one of the guys that he calls.'" You know, respecting another person, regardless of what they did or did not do, opens the door for the good news of Christ. And could you be like that? You know, somebody has treated you like that along the way, by the way. You were the Larry Flint in the story. Loving another opens the door for the gospel also. We had a quote on Wednesdays a couple weeks ago. The man who does not love will most likely not see anyone receive the Lord. Okay, because love will open the door for the gospel. And thank you guys up there. We had one more story I thought was very helpful. Charles Colson has a grandson, Max, who's severely autistic. Max is in grade school. And so Max needs some extra attention and some extra care. And, you know, they have different events that they all go to. And, I mean, everybody just kind of gets on board and says, let's help these young ones have a good experience in life because they got some things going against them. And Charles Colson is observing all this, and he's amazed at all the intensity of helping these young ones out who have problems and that can be overcome. And he starts to think, I wonder what it would be like if spiritually, you know, I as a Christian and we as Christians would see people who have significant or severe spiritual problems. I mean, we're talking about big time things to overcome. Sin, you know, rebellion, whatever it is. What if we saw them like all of us adults see Max? You know, he needs boundaries. He needs people gathering around him. You know, he needs to be demonstrated what love is so he can be open to that in his life later. Wouldn't that be a great ministry that God has given to us as Christians and people, you know, who call ourselves followers of Jesus? Yes, it would be. And that's a part of who you and I are called to be as ambassadors for Christ. Simple servants. Hey, we're going to try to do everything possible to help people who are in severe spiritual condition because we understand what that's like, first of all, our own selves. And we want to help others meet the one who can heal them, and give them redemption, and give them a brand new life with him. And so the calling on our lives today is in that circle of people that we have. Give the respect unconditionally that God has ordained. He ordained it because he commanded it. Second, give the love unconditionally that he has shown to us in Christ. And see if we could change some key interactions that you have with the people in your life and with the dear world that Jesus died to save. And ties in the missions conference. We love our nation. Our nation is a gospel-saturated nation. You know, a lot of people are going to, they're like this right now with the gospel. But our dear nation is only 5% of the world. That's it. And we want to be faithful with the 5%. But God cares about the 95% too. That's a big number out there. And he wants to send the good news of Jesus. Let's be a part of that. Let's pray together and ask God to help. Father, we need your care. Thank you for somebody along the line showed us respect, recognized we were created in God's image. We want to see ourselves that way or We'll run to some idol to get respect. That'll be foolish. The idol won't love us. The idol can't give us any dignity. But you can. And pray, Father, we would show respect to each one. And your love, again, regardless of what the other person is doing or not doing. And might our circle of passing those qualities on just grow because we want our trust in you to grow. So please, Jesus, change hearts. Show us how to walk in your way and set us free from things that will hold us back. Bless each one here in Christ's name. Amen.